Welcome to my favorite Elliott Smith song. This podcast is all about keeping Elliott Smith's legacy alive by speaking to well-known fans about their favorite song of his. So hi and welcome to episode 10 of the season. Today we're taking a slight step back in time as we bring you a couple of interviews we recorded at the All My Rowdy Friends Elliott Smith tribute show, which was held by New Monkey Studio in August 2024. Later on, we'll hear from Mero, a previous guest on the podcast, but before that we have Sarah Love, a musician who met Elliott and played in a band with Scott McPherson, his drummer, during the Figure Eight tour. So this is Sarah talking with my co-host, Elizabeth With Stanley.
I'm Sarah Love.
And you're in a band?
I was in a band called Devix. And our band actually shared a drummer with Elliott. Scotty was, we had a few different drummers, but Scotty was a drummer for a long time. And he's also a really good friend. And my band Devix hasn't been active since about, like, our last album was in 2006, and then we haven't toured since 2010, I think. But then I did some solo stuff. I did 3 solo albums, and then I haven't done stuff in a while because I had a kid.
Tell me what your favorite Elliott Smith song is.
Well, Everything Means Nothing to Me is definitely huge, major, maybe number one. But I'm doing 2 songs tonight. I'm doing Twilight and I'm doing Waltz Number 1. And those are also both favorites.
Someone found the future as a statue in a fountain, and attention looking backward in a pool of water, wishes with a blue songbird on his shoulder who keeps singing over everything means nothing to me.
And what draws you to Everything Means Nothing to Me?
Those are the best lyrics. I'm not sure how I would sum it up, but maybe that, I think I'm a pretty positive person, but always riding underneath that is that feeling that, like, you know what, this is all kind of meaningless and none of it matters. So for me, that actually helps me in my life because it makes me be able to do anything and realize that nothing is that important and nothing really matters. Nothing, you know. So, but maybe for him, it was totally different.
I don't know. Helps you put things in perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we do get sort of, I don't know, absorbed in things.
Caught up
sometimes.
In some the minutia of daily life.
Everything means nothing to me. 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 Everything means nothing to me.
And what was it like sort of learning those songs and taking this position of, you know, putting yourself as a musician in there and then sort of embodying Elliott?
It was pretty amazing. It's funny because I am a huge Elliott fan and I felt like I knew all of his music and all of his albums. But then as I was learning it, then I realized I don't. And I had to learn it in this different way of like, oh, I'm actually singing this now without him guiding me in the background. And also when I'm singing, I'm thinking about the words and where, and I'm going to that place. So I'm trying to imagine what it meant for him. And yeah, it's just a different, it's been amazing, by the way. I've loved doing this. I'm like, maybe I need to do an Elliott Smith cover. I probably won't, but I feel a lot closer to the songs now. And I think, you know, when he wrote these, he might have had a certain feeling about it. And it's one thing to have to put your thoughts on paper and as dark as they may be, but then when it ends with the person taking their life, then it changes all of those words because it makes them so much more intense or severe, or this is where this was leading.
Did you see Elliot perform?
Yeah, back? And I met him only once, hanging out with Aaron of Early Mart. We went and met him for a drink because they were hanging out a lot. And he's a great guy. Nice guy.
And at that time, you were working professionally as a musician?
Yeah. I was in my band, Devix. And, yeah, and actually, so Elliot was, you know, he had, like, gone off of all of his medication, and he was drug-free, and he was doing very well. And he had, and Scotty was leaving to come on tour with us. So we were on tour, and everybody was, like, happy because Elliot seemed like, all of the people around him, I think, were like, he's doing great. He's, like, finally doing great again. He's back to his, like, sober self. Well, then we know what happened. But we were, so we were at, we were in the UK, and we were about to do an interview at the BBC radio. And we were in the, there's this, like, big waiting room, and it's, like, sunny day. We're just hanging out there waiting. And when you're in the waiting room, you're hearing the radio of what's happening. And so they announced what had happened. And Scotty just, he left. He ran out of there, and he was disappeared for the whole day. He was totally devastated. I mean, everybody was devastated, but I think he was more because I was a close friend of his.
21 yeah. years later.
Yeah.
And how all that time passed. So how does it feel sort of coming back and you know, seeing some of these other musicians that are all here?
It's
for
amazing. There's a lot of musicians here that I know and love, and a lot of friends. And then there's all these young people. That there's like a kid playing that was named after Elliot Smith, and he's playing a song beautifully. And I love seeing all of what Elliot helped to inspire. That these, the people that I saw in the rehearsals the other day are extremely talented and really good guitar players, really good singers. And you could see that they probably, you know, learned from him.
Yeah. So you learned Twilight mm-hmm. for this.
Yeah.
And it's a really pretty song.
That is one of the most beautiful Elliot Smith songs.
And
Waltz number one, too.
And how did it feel sort of being up there with the band that's in place?
It felt great because Aaron Embry, we used to do shows together and all the time. And he's a friend, and he recorded my band a little bit. And I'm in awe of his talents. I don't know if you've gotten to watch him, but he's an incredible musician, multi-instrumentalist, amazing singer. And then Scotty's one of my best friends. And Sean Sullivan, I've played with him. I mean, there's a lot of guys that I've played with, and there's other bands that I'm friends with. So it just feels like a really warm, comfortable environment.
Can you maybe talk a little bit about when you first came across Elliot's music, or when you first started listening to him? Or
I'm trying to think. I think it was the Blue and White album. It's just called Elliot Smith, right? That was my first. I don't remember which was the first song I heard, but I remember diving into that album and then being like, wow, what is this? Who is this? This voice, the words. I mean, yeah, how do you describe him? It's like something so gentle, but also very masculine and strong, but then this, like, not afraid to be soft and beautiful and so sincere and honest with his feelings. Yeah, I was an instant fan, and I was always seeking out everything that he did. And there's something very rare, or when somebody's that honest about and they just put it all out there, and it's so poetically perfect, and has these amazing melodies and beautiful voice and instrumentation, and yeah, it just like goes right in. It doesn't seem like he was trying to be cool, but he just was so cool.
So you took some time off, and then you have been releasing music independently, or just
I
as yourself?
Not anything. Yeah, but I did three albums after my band, and then I haven't put anything out in years.
Ah, okay. And are you thinking about that?
I want to. Yeah, I especially like going into the rehearsal, and we were at Elliot's studio, and I had never been there, and I love it. It's a really, really cool place, and it's got all his stuff in there, and it just feels very special. And I was like, maybe I need to record here. But I don't even have new songs, so. But I don't think my music career is done, but it definitely has had a long pause.
How old is your child or children?
He's 5.
Oh, okay.
And I'm a single mom, so.
Okay.
I mean, by choice, I had a kid by myself. So it's kind of taken over, and I work and whatever. Anyway, so I do want to make more music. I have amazing, amazing musicians around me. I just need to like reach out and write some songs and do it.
Well, that's good. It's exciting, I think, probably to be here, and it's probably fun to be here and perform
tonight.
Oh,
yeah. It definitely ignited something. Like the other day when on Sunday we rehearsed, and I was really could have just done with like an hour of rehearsal, but I was there. I didn't want to leave. And I was just sitting there watching everyone, and I was like, oh my God, I miss this.
And also playing at All My Rowdy Friends was Mero, who joined us on the podcast back in season 4. Elizabeth caught up with him before he took to the stage to play Angelus and Half Right.
I have the pleasure of covering 2 songs today in the tribute show, covering Angelus, and I am covering Half Right, the Heatmiser version.
Okay. And how did you feel about learning these songs well enough to perform them? Because it's different, like being a fan of like, oh, I love this song, to okay, now I'm actually going to play this song and sing this song.
Well, fortunately, I was given notice of playing this show a couple months ago, and that's when I started learning Angelus. And I'm so glad that I took the time, because the guitar part is really challenging, and it made me learn a lot as a guitar player. It made me get better, and in full transparency, I still don't think I have the part perfectly the way that Elliot could play it, because he's quite remarkable musician. I watched the documentary last night too, Heaven Adores You, and he was playing with John Bryan, and he was playing Everything Means Nothing to Me, singing this really intricate, beautiful melody and playing this piano part, and John Bryan is watching him behind him play and sing. That's all that you need to know, that someone of John's caliber is watching him do his thing and wants to just be a part of it. That's Elliot's level. And I don't think Elliot was aware of it, or I don't think he cared, which I think is part of the reason why this particular group of people is so drawn to him, because he's sort of a champion of the unsung. He's a champion of the unordinary, and he's somebody who's so fascinating and incredible that, and yet also seemingly ordinary, so we can all relate to it. We can all relate to that shadow self, so to speak. It's so brilliant. I get off track to say that Angelus was incredibly difficult to learn, and I loved learning it. It's such a beautiful song. And yesterday morning I was asked to play Half Right, so I learned it yesterday. Fortunately, there was a whole band. And fortunately, Kevin is here.
Kevin Devine.
Yes. Fortunately, he knew the guitar part. And we were rehearsing it right here on these couches.
Could you? It sounded really good.
Thank you. And the whole band knew it already. So I was able to just play the chords and not the intricate Elliot Smith guitar part. And I think it's going to be really, really lovely.
And so after spending some time on Angelus and making it through the guitar and kind of making your version of it. You know, how was it? You know, how was that journey like? Was it intimidating to try to pick up that song?
It's sort of like being at a mountain that you think isn't like a bunny slope, but that you think is like, oh, I can go down this hill. And then you're halfway down the hill, so you thought, and you realize, oh my God, there's only one way down this hill, and it is not easy. It's incredibly difficult. It is a black diamond slope that I'm going down here. Very humbling.
Yeah.
Very humbling, because you think it's just unorganized playing when you first hear that. You're like, oh, he's just jamming around. He's not. It's a very specific part and pattern with very specific moments. And when he plays it live, he does it the same every single time he plays it live. You don't realize it,
mm-hmm.
his intricacies. But that's what's so brilliant about it, is that when you look closer and closer, you go, there's so much to be revealed. I think that's one of the many reasons why we're all here today.
Well, there's something interesting about having a song that you've been working with for a while and kind of absorbing to bring here tonight, and then one that was just, you know, tossed upon you. Did you feel like maybe a sense of comfortableness maybe with Half Right, in that you had been spending all this time on Angelus, that maybe through that experience coming to your second song you felt more at ease?
That's so funny that you perceived that. Yes, I do feel that way. One, because I was prepared to play solo for the Angelus show, and I didn't, obviously in preparation, you don't know who's going to be here. You don't know what the energy and the vibe is going to be like. And so I wanted to really make sure that I was giving it my best, my all, to pay respect to him on this day. And meeting everybody and meeting the band and seeing more of the situation and the vibe of tonight and learning the song, there's a bit of an ease to it. And I think it might lend itself to be a more powerful performance because of that sort of laissez-faire, like, let's let it be.
Yeah.
Feel. We'll see what happens tonight. They both could just be the worst parts of this evening, but we'll see.
I'm sure they'll all be great.
Yeah.
So Half Right, was that a song that you were kind of moderately familiar with before, or was it?
You know, what's interesting is that Apple has this thing. I have a HomePod in my room, so I'm able to say blank, play this. And so you play an Elliott Smith song, usually the second or third song in that like infinite rotation is Half Right. Okay. For some reason.
That's funny.
Just like Yesterday is in that like infinite rotation if they play songs from the 60s or or Help. You know, there's certain songs. And that song always came on later. And I always gravitated towards it. Mm-hmm. Thought it was beautiful. There was one night in particular a few weeks ago, actually, where I listened to it a lot of times in a row just because I loved the way that it made me feel. And then they asked me to play it.
So you were ready.
So I wasn't, but I know I loved the song. So that was the part that made it that I was ready. I know that I loved the art that we were going to portray.
Right. That's great. And how is it sort of meeting and being up there on stage with some of the band members that would tour with Elliott?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, the group of guys are so kind, and being able to look around at them and look them in the eyes and share this experience together. It's just us doing it. There's no gimmicks. It's just what you're seeing on stage is what's coming through the speakers. And it's so special and different than today, for better and for worse.
Yeah.
To be around with those guys and for them to depend on me to deliver the song and to know that I will be able to deliver it feels really wonderful.
Yeah.
Because here's a group of people that have been doing it for a really long time,
mm-hmm.
and they're great at what they do. And we're doing this to honor somebody who we all respect. It's hard to put into words.
Yeah.
I didn't always think I was worthy of this life. So that's why being able to be up there with them really means a lot. Yeah. And they sort of have ordained me. They're like, no, it's okay. You're meant to be here.
Yeah.
Take it. It's yours.
That's,
go.
That's exciting. after sort of spending this time with Angelus, do you have any different feelings about the song than just as, you know, someone who likes Elliott Smith and likes to listen to him?
He's such a specific creator. So particular. So specific. And what I realized last night, I guess putting it into another, it's something that most artists know, hopefully, but it got put into a new expression last night, which is that art is not a competition. Our purpose as artists is to evoke something and to give the world something only we can give it. That is our purpose. And Elliott fulfilled his purpose by bringing the world something only he could bring. Now, people, like in the documentary, say, oh, it's like Paul Simon, and oh, it's like Simon and Garfunkel, and oh, it's like this, and it's like that. Okay. But it doesn't make you feel, the way that it makes you feel is only the way that he can make you feel. And that's our power as artists. And that's why it's not a competition.
Right. Well, you're not going to connect with everybody.
No.
But it's, you know, whoever you connect with, it's meant for them.
Right. If you're able to portray a specific feeling into this cosmic sound that other forms of consciousness can take on, and you can sort of swim in that same pool together, and you like the way the water feels.
Yeah.
How crazy.
Yeah.
How wonderful.
I mean, I think the interesting thing about Elliott Smith is his songs have so much vulnerability in them. And I'm not a musician, but I talk to lots of musicians. And, you know, I know that in people that I've talked with, it's like a very hard thing as far as how much of yourself do you want to put out there. And, you know, we know lots of Elliott's songs. They're narrative in the sense that it's not necessarily a specific thing that he's, you know, saying a story about himself, but it's, you can feel it in the layers in there. So that kind of vulnerability and then being able to wrap it all up in a song and put it, you know, creating the music that just matches together, puts it in this like great arena. And I'm sure he never thought like, oh, you know, millions of people are going to be listening to this. He just thought, I need to make this music and I'm making this music. So I'm sure as a musician, it's very challenging to kind of tread that line between, you know, I want to express myself. How much of myself do I want to put out there? And what do people want to hear? And that balance, I think, is something that not a lot of people hit. I don't know where I'm rambling on this question too, but I mean, I was just kind of going off of what you were saying in terms of, you know, that he's putting something very specific out there and there's people there that want to hear it. So, you know, as a musician, I'm sure you think about these things too. And do you think about that vulnerable side of a lot of his songs that people really relate to? Do you think about that much yourself? In terms of like, do I want to put something out there where I'm exposing myself in a way, or?
Well, the thing is that I have, and I've been terrified to release a few songs, but that's how you know that you're doing something right, which seems very backwards.
Yeah.
But John Lennon's songwriting advice to David Bowie was, say what you mean, make it rhyme and put a backbeat to it. And so if you say what you mean, usually you can't help but be vulnerable. It's the lines that Kevin brought up, a line when we were singing this, while we were singing Half Right together, after we were saying it, said, a broken sink for a face. It's like, wow, what a line. And I'm sure with Elliott's case, it was just a line.
Yeah.
He just thought of it and it's like, oh, that's interesting. But that line is so beautiful and probably has impacted, even if it's only impacted 1,000 people, which is probably a lot more.
Yeah.
That line cuts because it's like, how do I know what he's talking about? How do I know what he is talking about? I've never heard anything like that. But he was willing to express something differently.
Yeah.
To express something in his own way. And each artist's purpose is different because it's such a paradox. You're rewarded for vulnerability, and then you can also be scorned for it.
Right.
So it's like you're walking on a tightrope, and at the end of the tightrope, you're blindfolded. At the end of the tightrope is either a pit of lava or whatever your deepest desire is.
Yeah.
It's either your greatest fear or your deepest desires on the other end of that tightrope, and I can't tell you what's going to happen.
Right.
But I want to take the risk anyways because it's worth it to me.
Yeah.
And you bring up an interesting question. Is it worth it to the person who's writing music? I can't say. Up to Elliot, I believe it was.
I mean, I think for him, it was like a need in the sense of how can I exist in the world? I need to exist in the world because I need to get this stuff out. Like, that's how I can function. And, you know, that line that you mentioned is a great line for a song called Half Right. It fits in so perfectly.
Right. But it was just a line.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he just sort of improvised it while he was recording it on a tape or something. And it wasn't something he mulled over for a long time. I bet it just happened.
Yeah.
I could also be completely wrong. And it took him weeks to figure out how to say that collection of words. But
they feel natural. The words
feel so natural. It touches something beyond. It's like Shakespearean almost. Because Shakespeare gave us on a much greater, grander scale so many words in the dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
Words that we use every day. Eyeball, downstairs. The list goes on and on. Like, I believe it's over 700 words that he created.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think people feel a similar way to Elliot Smith in a different way.
Right.
And they each served their purpose as creators specifically.
Yeah.
Very different paths, but people are still so inspired to continue talking about it for a long time.
Yeah. Great. Well, I look forward to hearing your songs tonight.
I look forward to playing them for you.
Like I said, I heard you practicing that Half Right in here and it sounded great. So
we have super talented musicians and I can't wait to play for you. And I'm so grateful for the time.
Great. Thank you.
A big thank you then to Sarah and Mero for taking the time to speak to us, and to our friends at New Monkey Studio for hosting such a great night. We'll be bringing you a bit more from All My Rowdy Friends in our next episode, when our guest will be Kevin Devine, who, like Mero, will be returning to the podcast for his second appearance. So please do join us for that one. That's pretty much it for today. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks' time.